Hello, it's Hank. John and I just finished a 19-city tour, and on that tour, every day, we did a short 25-minute Dear Hank and John live show. And most of those shows did not get recorded, but in the places where it was easy and we had time to set it up, we recorded. I have just finished editing together a bunch of clips from the ones that we recorded into a full-length podcast for you today. So as we go through, you will notice that the audio quality will change a bit from place to place, and sometimes it's bad. Just it sounds bad. I apologize for that. Also, if you like live podcasts and like the idea of that, or you just love podcasts in general, John and I have teamed up with the people from Welcome to Night Vale and the McElroy Brothers to create an event December 9th and 10th in Seattle. There will be live recordings of podcasts, panels discussing this medium, weird podcast mashups, games, performances, and more. We're going to have many cool people. We'll have people from the Bright Sessions, Kevin T. Porter of the Gilmore Guys, Paul Bay of the Black Tapes, Roman Mars, Francesca Ramsey, Rod and Karen Morrow, the Orbiting Human Circus, Sleep With Me, Aparna Nancherla. Live podcasts will include Lore, Dear Hank and John, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, Criminal, My Brother and Me, The Adventure Zone Zone, Sawbones, Alice Isn't Dead, Bad With Money, and more. If you're interested in joining our creator chat, which is just like an opportunity to talk with creators, or our signing lotteries, that closes November 12th. So if you're looking to get your tickets, you should probably do it pretty soon. I know that first-time events are a bit risky to go to. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. Nobody's been to it yet, but they're also usually the most surprising, inspiring, and special of all the events that I do and that I go to. I think we put together a really amazing event here, and I would be honored if you put your faith in us. And as an additional benefit, if you use the coupon code DearHank as you're checking out for your $100 in-real-person attendance to PodCon, you will get 10% off. So thank you for that. You could use the coupon code DearJohn if you want to, but I will be watching, so I don't know why you would. You can also attend the show digitally for $30. You can get all of the audio recorded at the event delivered right into your podcast app. And now, let us go into the live shows. We're going to start with some bits we did in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is not the same thing as Minneapolis.
Hello and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or is that for the good Dear John and Hank?
It's a comedy podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. How you doing, John?
Good. I mean, it's intense, man. I came out here, the very first thing I said, Hank, I don't think you heard me say it. The very first thing I said was, it's so nice to be here in Minneapolis.
Well, you did make yourself a little hole there.
Yeah. So I've been trying to work my way back with the crowd the whole time.
You know, they seem pretty forgiving.
Minnesotans are notoriously grudge holders.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
You've heard of Minnesota mean?
Yeah. You don't like our ice cream? I went to Izzy, the ice cream place. Oh, my God. What is it? Oh, what? I mean, we have good ice cream in Montana, but I got the salted caramel, and it's like a fresh, fresh place. It's like they have a herd of cows there, just in the back.
Our bus driver, Brock, who's become a great friend of ours, or at least we like him a lot. We had a rest stop somewhere in Wisconsin. I don't recall where, forgive me. And He opened up the bus door and he looked back at Hank and he said, "Why are you always eating?" I mean, it's true. And then Hank was like, "I do other things." And I looked at him and I was like, "Yeah, while eating."
I'm a true multitasker, John. Do you want to hear some questions from our listeners?
Desperately.
This next question comes from our listener, Kat, who asked, "Dear Hank and John, which are closer related, centaurs and humans, because of the upper half part, centaurs and horses, because of the lower half part, or centaurs and dragons, because they both have six limbs?" This is an amazing point.
This is a great question.
Not yet gone there. All terrestrial vertebrates have the exact same body plan. You got the head, and you got the two limbs on top, and the two limbs on bottom.
Yeah.
And then you got like the butt part in between the bottom limbs, and it's all organized the same way, except dragons and centaurs, who are just like, extra two! And Goro from Mortal Kombat and the Avatar people.
Yeah, so the obvious answer is that it's centaurs and dragons.
Yeah.
much more closely related.
Oh, so much more.
Yeah.
Like a whole sort of like, oh, wow, that, like they need their own.
Yeah.
Like Carl Linnaeus would be like, we need to create a new thingy. It's a whole, what were we thinking?
They're in a new domain. I think the only thing that I'd note,
it's called
though,
a thingy.
Okay. The only thing that I'd note, though, is that I think centaurs and dragons must have evolved from ants.
This question comes from Efren, who says, this is the question in its entirety, Hank. Dear John and Hank, I'm confused about Batman.
Is Batman here?
Oh, yeah, Batman is here. I saw several Batmen.
So, he's not a Batman. He's not actually, like Spider-Man is kind of like has spider things that happen
to him.
He's
got spider DNA.
Yeah, it's
but he's like a proper superhero.
Yeah. Is that the case? Like, are there other superheroes that are like actual?
Aquaman.
Well, he's not part water.
He is part water, like everybody. He's largely water. But more to the point, he's part fish. No.
But yeah, Batman is, just to be very clear, if you're confused about Batman, he doesn't have any bat DNA, he doesn't have wings, it's just a man who dresses up in a suit, and he's got it's like Halloween every day, or every night, I guess, or whenever crime fighting happens. He's not like Superman where he can change clothes real fast, he has to go home to change, which seems like a little bit of a limitation.
Just to be clear, he's not a superhero. I don't want to make too much of a point of this, but this is incredibly important. Batman is not a superhero. Batman is a metaphor for our worship of individual wealth. Like, Batman is a metaphor for what we think billionaires are and can be. He's like, Batman is Elon Musk, who I'm sure is here tonight. Thank you for being here. I know you have a lot of important problems to solve, but there is a third-tier English soccer team I would like to introduce you to. My God, do they need money. Batman is, he really, I've said this before, but he really is just a rich person with an affinity for bats. And I get why Batman is important and like a crucial part of the cultural conversation, but I think we have to remember that, like, what makes Batman interesting is that Batman is complicated. Like, in a way, Superman, frankly, isn't. Superman's just wish fulfillment.
This next question comes from, we're going to have to move on, from Leisha, who asks, because this is a very important question, how do we best promote our guinea pig's Instagram?
Oh. Well, let's stop everything.
I have the username.
Well, first off, good job putting the username.
Questions.
Oh, sorry. Good job putting the username in the question. That's your first step. Go to every book event you can. Just put that question in every time. Put the guinea pigs, and slowly it'll happen.
So it's pig hyphen the letter N, and then hyphen and plop, pig and plop. And you have you had one follower earlier today. You have two now, because I followed you when I was backstage.
You're on your way.
It seems a little bit like this is a new endeavor. There are three photos. But there was, I believe, a Batman and a Superman guinea pig, because it is Halloween, and it seemed that was what their costumes were this year.
And I don't want to take it to a dark place, but, like,
could you possibly take it to a dark place?
If you want to, you're going to work and work and work and build up this guinea pig's Instagram over, like, say, 2 years. You just got to be... Just be thinking, Tuatara lived for 200 years. I don't know if you've considered having a celebrity Instagram Tuatara. I know I have. This next question comes from Alexa, who asks, my name has recently been stolen by Amazon. Do you have any suggestions on how to cope?
I mean, you now live in a Google home, obviously. Like, it just happened. You now are a Google household, and also you can never go to any of your friends' houses unless they are a Google household. In fact, just don't leave the house. Because you could be like, it's like, Alexa, do we have any carrots? And Alexa's like, I'll get you carrots. I got a butt. They're on the way. 8 pounds.
Yeah. Alexa, do you mind chopping up the onions?
I'm sorry. I can't do that yet.
Yet. The scariest.
They're always saying yet. Why are they always saying yet?
Oh, you know why they're saying yet.
No knives, Alexa. You're not allowed knives. Alexa is allowed knives. Not robot Alexa. Normal person Alexa. Maybe we should, like, I don't know, stop letting Amazon run our lives.
Maybe.
Is that a plan we could all have together?
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, the weird thing is we really do have a choice right now. Alexa, this isn't super relevant to your question, but we do have a choice right now about what kind of world do we want to live in. Do we want to live in a world where there are not many jobs and everything is easy and automated and human connection is dramatically decreased? Maybe. I mean, I'm not, and I think, like, certainly that's where the tide of culture is going, and it might be the best way.
There is one fan in the audience.
There were like two. There were like two people who were like, yeah, that's what I want, which is fine. And I get it, by the way. Like, it is incredibly, the idea of two-hour delivery, the idea of everything on demand, the idea of, you know, humans not having to interact anymore with each other, which we have, you know, a very mixed history of at best, is appealing in some ways. But I do think that I think we need to acknowledge that much will be lost in that process, and not only for people named Alexa.
But primarily for people named Alexa. This next question comes from Mira, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, I ran into Hank before the show and could only muster the courage to say hi in an incredibly crackly voice. So my question is, when you meet someone you really admire but don't want to bother, what do you say?"
I'm pretty bad at this. So I know how to do it from having people have, like, done a really good job with me, like when they meet me in Target, and I'll be like, that person crushed it. But when I do it, I have a 100% failure rate. And like everybody else, like, I still think that the people I had awkward interactions with still think about me. And, like, are still worried about it, and I still want to apologize for it. So, like, I met Sherman Alexie a few years ago, and I, like, waited, like, a full 35 seconds. He was like, "Who should I sign the book for?" And I was like... And it was, like, many hours passed before I finally said, "John?" In a questioning voice, as if I still wasn't sure. And I think about, like, it's one of the things I think about, like, when I lie awake at night. Like, I bet Sherman Alexie has let it go. I bet it's not the first time that somebody's been overwhelmed, you know, thought it, couldn't get all the words out they wanted to say, you know, et cetera. I'm sure that it's fine. I'm sure he's good with it. I bet he doesn't think about it that much anymore. And by the way, if we've ever had an awkward encounter, anybody in this room, if you and I have ever had an awkward encounter, I just want to say right now, we're good. We're good.
So this morning,
this person's name?
Mira,
we're good. I mean, Hank's good. You and Hank are good.
He didn't believe me. He had to read it. He just would not.
I don't trust him.
So this morning, I left the hotel because I was like, I need to get out of the hotel room because I'm obsessed with this stupid story that I'm not actually going to know anything about for several days, but I keep reading Twitter and I'm sick of it. And so I was like, I'm going to go walk around the marina. And I go walk around the marina and I'm like, we don't have to be at the bus until 9:30. And then I get a text at 9:10 and John's like, where are you? And I look and it says 9, not 9:30. So I start to book it back from the marina, just like running, you know, at 8 miles an hour or whatever my top speed is.
I'd take the under on that.
6. And, yeah. And I'm going as fast as I can back to the hotel room, and I get to the hotel, and the bus is on the left, and I wave to Brock. He's in so let him know I'm coming, our driver. But I don't even break my stride. And there's a guy who says, "Are you?" And I said, I can't. And I was like, oh my God, I just said I can't. What's he gonna think? He's gonna tweet about this. I did. I forgot about that until just now. And now, yeah, now I'm going to be the one thinking about that all night long. Just like, I can't. It's already 9:18.
Usually,
I got to get my bags.
Usually it's the person who is the fan who makes it weird. But you definitely made that weird. You definitely did that. Here's my advice. Make it short. Be friendly. Take a picture. Ask to take a picture if you want, or get an autograph or anything.
Sometimes it's like, how is this going to end now? We've started the conversation, and is it like, do we just go until one of us has to pee? Like, what happens? But what you say is, hey, can we get a picture? And then it's like, of course you can. And then we get a picture, and then it's like, we did the thing. Hooray.
And then, and then no matter, like, if you're like me, you're going to spend the next, like, 3 days, like, kind of, like, hashing it through and thinking about, like, I did this wrong. It's okay.
He was clearly running. Why did I try to stop him? He just yelled, I can't.
Right. It's okay. Hank's not mad at that person. He's correctly mad at himself. This next question comes from Emma, who writes, grad school is stressing me out. Should I open a bakery?
Oh, my God.
Emma.
Oh, wow.
Emma, I mean...
of bad news.
You are... I'm a little worried you might be romanticizing the bakery business. So, I don't know where you are, but I don't know how stressful grad school is, but do you wake up at 2:30 in the morning every morning? Do you, like, then go to work by 3 so that you can, like, you know, start, like... chopping the sesame seeds. I don't know. I don't really know what goes into a bakery.
Just generally being very close to very hot things that might hurt you.
And then you also have employees, Emma. Like,
and so they might get hurt. And they're not going to show up, and you have to call them and be like, oh, yeah, what were you up to last night? But the bread's not going to bake itself, Trevor.
And honestly, Emma, there's no way they're going to be as invested in your bakery idea as you are, right? Because, like, they're there to cash a check, ultimately. Like, they didn't, like, start out wanting to open a bakery. They started out seeing a want ad and, like, this job will do for now. Emma. God.
Yeah.
It's going to be very stressful. Also, I have spent, like, 2 hours in Portland, and it seems to me that there is, like, not a, like, huge... shortage of bakeries.
Is there something you can put into the baked goods that will make it more desirable? I don't
even
know.
Even honestly, like, Hank, even that business seems somewhat saturated. It's pretty hard to think of a new baked good you could put that into that they haven't got already. Emma.
Running a business is very stressful. I do it all the time. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. You could totally get into the business, whatever the business is. But it's probably going to, I don't know. I don't know what
it's
going to
be more
for.
Stressful. It's going to be stressful in a way that you, like, in a different way. And maybe it'll be better for you. But, like, also, you got to read spreadsheets.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's not just bacon.
Also,
when
I was in college. Is there even, I mean, there's almost no baking in I don't know.
Okay, no,
so
no,
when,
no.
When I was in college, I have a story about this.
They got the joke, you didn't. It's
oh,
fine.
Okay. Right. I actually just realized the story is not even that good. Let's just move on to another question.
Renee asks, dear Hank and John, where is your favorite place in the whole world? You ask of two men who have been on the road for quite a while, who sleep in a different bed every night of varying quality.
Yeah.
My bed is my favorite place in the world. It has my wife in it. Sometimes it has my baby in it. And then it will also occasionally have my cat in it. And it's just one rectangle and has all my favorite stuff.
That's, I mean, that's pretty much how I feel. But I was actually going to say the bus. Maybe I got, like, a little bit of, I don't know what it is, but every time I'm on the bus, I'm like, man, it's got a Nintendo Switch. It's got, like, good people I like being with. We're on the move.
Got a bunch of beds.
Yeah, it's got 8 beds, Hank. I mean, and of identical quality.
Let's answer some questions from our listeners. This first question comes from Julie, who writes, dear John and Hank, I almost made out with a boy at a Halloween party.
I mean,
almost.
What happened? Okay. How do you almost make out with someone? Are you just like,
yeah? How do you, like, isn't it possible that you didn't almost make out with somebody? I don't know. We're gonna move on because that's not the question. What do I do if I run into him and don't recognize his face?
I mean, definitionally, if you don't recognize his face, you will treat him as if he is a person you have not almost made out with.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna. The good news, Julie, is that what you want to do doesn't matter because you're gonna do the only thing that you can do when you don't recognize someone's face, which is treat them as a stranger. So you just have to be really kind and generous to everyone you meet forever.
The bad news is. But really the question is, how do I live in a world where anyone I meet might be someone I almost made out with at a Halloween party in 2017?
Right,
for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like I am in that boat. I went to college. Like, I'm in that situation, and I've been able to navigate the world fairly effectively. Hank, do you have a question?
Yeah, this next question comes from Brian, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, I am a father who is trying to connect with my daughter. She loves your book and has watched all of your videos. How can I be a cool dad and talk about you without watching 100 hours of video?"
Good news and bad news. It's more than 100 hours of video. And it's all great.
There's also a podcast.
This question comes from Amy, who writes, "Dear John and Hank, I have a new cat, and he is fantastic. However, he is way too good at killing things. I put a bell on his collar, but that has not slowed him down." It's just given, like, every animal in your yard a new last noise they hear. "Any dubious advice is greatly appreciated. There is a dead snake in my living room."
So your cat is made of knives. And it's a very good cat. And if you want it to not kill things, you have to keep it inside. Which the cat is gonna not like.
You just gotta let your cat be a cat, man. Sorry. That's
keep my cat inside. For my cat's safety and also the safety of all the lovely animals in my yard.
John,
yes.
This next question comes from Ryan, who asks, "What is your favorite DC character and why?"
Wait, deep sea?
DC.
Aquaman. What is my favorite DC character?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm completely fascinated by this Paul Manafort business. Like the, he has three passports. He travels internationally under fake names. It's amazing.
Who has three passports?
His email passport.
The storyline is very compelling.
His email password was Bond 007. It's gold. It's all gold.
I'm finding the John McCain storyline very compelling
as
well.
No, there's so many great
DC characters.
The DC universe is so amazing.
It's big. It's gotten really bizarre.
It blows the Marvel universe out of the water. You can't make this stuff up. Literally, you can't.
That, John, I just want to congratulate you on that joke. It was amazing.
Thanks, man.
This question comes from Jessica, who writes, "Please answer this debate. Which movie is stranger not to have seen, Star Wars or Goonies?" Jessica, respectfully, I mean, let me rephrase your question. Which movie is stranger not to have seen, Star Wars or literally any other movie? And Star Wars is still weirder. Goonies is a great movie. It is an important movie. People should see it. It's not Star Wars.
This next question comes from Danielle, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, when did you first feel successful?"
Ooh.
I think it was third grade. I got a spelling test, there was a star, there was like more than one star, and I had gotten stars before, but I didn't know that you get like two, possibly three. Like there was one of those normal like cut out sparkly stars, but then there was another. It was like, "You did great" star next to it that was like a whole different class of star. And I was like, oh man, I killed it on this. That was it.
For me, it was in 11th grade. I was on my high school's academic decathlon team. I don't know if you're familiar with academic decathlon, but the rules are that you have 3A students who have GPAs above like 3.75, 3B students whose GPAs are above 3.0 but below 3.75, and then you have 3C students whose GPAs are below 3.0. And those are your stars, really, because everybody has good A students. But I was a C student. And I went to the Alabama State Academic Decathlon Tournament, and I don't want to brag, but I crushed it. I finished second overall behind one of my classmates, another...
Second in the C student category?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Duh. God, Hank. Second overall in the C student category, including like a bronze medal in both economics and math, which I knew nothing about. I've honestly never felt that good again.
Yeah, no, I brought up the third grade thing because like it literally feels the same inside of my brain when like another cool thing happens as like getting, and I do remember very clearly that second star. It's success is a moment. It is not a permanent thing. You don't get to, it's not like something you install in your brain. It's something that you get and then you're like, okay, well, and then it evaporates and then you crave more and it never is a thing that, I sort of like always thought that I would reach a point where I was like, and I'm happy now. That didn't come from like what normal people would call success. It came from like loving people and people liking me and having a good family that I enjoy and a good place that I like and good friends that I like. Like that's
yep.
Successful isn't a real
thing.
It's
true. It's not sexy, but it's true.
This next question comes from Dana, who asks, why do the clouds stay still even while we rotate so fast? No.
Oh, man, imagine if they didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, God, imagine how nauseating it would be to look up and the sky's moving at like 250,000 miles per hour.
I mean, the problem is that, like, the sky at that point is also, like, the air around you, and that's enough, like, fast enough to remove your skin and thing. Like, that's bad. That would be real bad. Like, all the buildings would go.
Yeah, no, you'd just float. You'd be toast.
You'd be toast, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the situation is, on the bottom part of the atmosphere, which is the Earth, there's friction. So there's, like, molecules of air, and there's also all the ground and mountains and buildings and stuff. On the upper part of the atmosphere, there's nothing to rub against. It's just space. So all the atmosphere spins with the Earth. That's it. It wasn't funny, sorry.
Great, this question comes from Alexandra, who asks, Dear John and Hank, what is your Hogwarts house?
Why did you say it that way? I keep bumping around. I need a freaking sorting hat to tell me. Like, I can't decide for myself who I am. That's like the literal hardest thing that we all have to do as people.
Did you do Pottermore?
I did.
What did it say?
Slytherin.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you can kind of see it, right?
I can see it a little. It's funny, like, now that I would never have thought it, but now that you say it, I get it. But I don't know. I think it's a little bit of like a Harry Potter situation where the sorting hat goes on your head and it's like, this guy's interesting. He contains multitudes.
What if like my heart is Gryffindor and my head is Ravenclaw and like, but my gut bacteria, like my microbiome is Slytherin?
Yeah, then I mean, you're Slytherin. That's how it works, man. Your gut, in the end, like, the bacteria that colonize you have so much say in what you consider to be yourself, but we're not here to talk about that. Actually, in a way, we are, because that's what the book is about, but not in this bit. I am a Hufflepuff, and very proudly so. This next question comes from... I'm not a very good reader of handwriting, and I also would argue that you did not make it easy for me. Maybe Gemma Lee? Dear John and Hank, if you could be any character in a book, which would it be and why?
I would argue that most characters in books have way too much going on. Like they don't write books about very relaxed people.
I want, like, I just want...
Right. You don't ever read, like, a book where it's like, I went on vacation and it was great. Then I came home. I felt, like, more relaxed, but also I was a little bit like, why do I do this job again? And then the book ends. That's the book I want to live inside, you know? The book where, like, you go to Jamaica for 8 days and everything's good. You hang out with your spouse who you like. Not a lot of novels like that. Oh, I would be, like, the guy in the castle, the knight with the washboard abs and the, like, long flowing hair and the rippling pecs and everything.
Tell me more about your rippling pecs. What are they?
Because that is an awesome narrative arc to enjoy. Like, you get to know you're not going to die, because it's a romance novel, so you get to, like, be in the ancient past without having to worry about, like, bacterial infections or gangrene. And you get the girl, you have a great, fulfilling, wonderful romance after what is a pretty easy obstacle to overcome. That is 100%.
This question comes from Matthew, who asks, how do you learn to do the things you don't want to do because they aren't fun? Because you can't. You don't, like, nobody's good at things at first, and so you get good at things that you enjoy doing, so you do them, and you're like, I got better, because that was fun. But then there are the things that just aren't, and you have to get good at them anyway, even though every time you get better, you don't like it. It's bad every time.
Yeah. For me, it's spreadsheets.
I love spreadsheets.
Maybe
you're just not appreciating them correctly.
Oh, I mean...
Now that's my, like, advice for Matthew.
Every year when I send my tax spreadsheet to my accountant, she emails me back and she's like, how do you do this? Because she's like, you treat Excel like it's Microsoft Word. Like, you have written a Word document inside of a spreadsheet format.
I just think it's so, like, that moment where you, like, get the equation and then you, like, highlight the cells and it's like, boop, and you're like, yeah, you just did all that math for me. I love that. Do it again. I was doing a bunch of calculations for all of our YouTube channels to see, like, our ad placement rates, and I was just like, man. I was so excited.
But that's not the question. How do you do things that you don't
maybe
like
doing?
Maybe
you just gotta get into it. You gotta be like, spreadsheets. Maybe it's amazing. Maybe I shouldn't hate them.
That's actually pretty good advice. Like, I think a lot of things in life are a matter of attention. And if you can pay the right kind of attention to it, you can be like, oh yeah, this may be, like, maybe this is, there's something in this for me that I can get into. Like, I remember recently I was on a walk with my daughter and she picked up a pine cone and she was like, Dad, look at this pine cone. I picked it up and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I mean, Alice, is a pine cone, you know, like, there's a ton of them, like an actual ton of them in our backyard. And she was like, no, Dad, look at this pine cone. I started looking at it and I was like, oh, wow. This is amazing, actually. Like, it's just a level of attention. Like, when you start to look at a pine cone, you're like, man, that is a lot of symmetry. This is, how did that tree make this? And then drop it in the hopes that in the future it can become a different tree. It's kind of beautiful and amazing. So just pay that kind of attention. Try to get that, like, Alice/stoner approach to the world.
Hank, let's answer a couple more questions before we get to the all-important news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon. The next question comes from Anonymous. How do you feel about Taco Bell?
I have very few... I think I can drop that opinion.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hey, if it's nearby... When I was in high school... When I was in high school, a bean burrito...
That should be their slogan. Taco Bell, you're nearby. Because you're reading our billboard. Just come.
When I was in high school, a Taco Bell bean burrito, which they still have, was 25 cents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got some 30-somethings over there. And every day I would get two bean burritos and I'd be out two quarters.
Yeah.
And then they raised the price to 35 cents and I was incensed. I was so angry. Like, my first, like, if I had had Twitter, I would have been all over that one. What a dramatic price increase.
All right.
It's nearly a 33% increase.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just step it up slowly. 28 cents, you know, 31 cents, 10% price increases. That makes sense. I agree with you completely. But that doesn't matter anymore because Hank and I no longer have an opinion about Taco Bell.
Right. So if it's nearby.
Everybody's always talking about like what Taco Bell does to your digestive system. I have a very fragile digestive system. I don't find that Taco Bell upsets my stomach at all, actually.
But Hank, you have...
Are there Taco Bell employees in the house?
It's okay. Hank, you have a very fragile digestive system in the sense that you have a very fragile digestive system, but you only eat like 18-hour-old hot dogs from the gas station that we stop at on tour, and then you're fine.
I don't really understand how it works.
No, I'll say.
I'll tell you what I do know about, this is a tip that no one asked for about digestive health that was something no one ever said to me. But the main thing that helps me is to not eat a lot all at once. Like that night we had nachos.
Yeah.
I was wrecked in the morning.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I had nachos, it's that I had like 1,000 calories of nachos at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm gonna take the over on that for sure. Yeah. I don't think you know what 1,000 calories of nachos look like.
Yeah.
I think you had like 7,000 calories of nachos. That's
right. Yeah. My main tip for people who have irritable bowel things is like, 300 calories at a time, just like keep going, and everything turns out much better in the end.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Hank's Fragile Digestive System. Hank's Fragile Digestive System, lots of tips.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by the DC Universe. What the frick is going on?
This podcast is also brought to you by the herd of cows out back at the Izzy. They milk them straight into the ice cream. Ooh, that sounds gross. I'll take it back.
This podcast is also brought to you by Hank's Bed. Hank's Bed. It contains everything that Hank's loves, except, what about me?
You're so not invited.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by Pizzamas. Pizzamas, DFTBA.com, right now.
And of course, this podcast is brought to you by the movie Goonies. The movie Goonies, optional.
All right, Hank, this is our last question. It comes from Jonathan, and he asks, is outer space cold?
Depends on where you are.
Right, because if you're in the sun, then no. That's a great point, Hank. I hadn't thought of it that way, but... Right, if you're, like, inside a star, it's super warm.
Yeah, in fact, weirdly enough, the area just outside of the sun is much hotter than the surface of the sun.
Oh, cool. So when I approach it...
Yeah.
Great. I'll never... Actually... So when I finally get there, I'll be like, oh, that's better. Whew! It's warm there for a minute.
So the weird thing about outer space is that it is mostly very cold. But heat is a function of not like the energy in molecules. But there aren't a lot of molecules, so you could be if you like suddenly are in space, you won't feel cold. You will feel dead substantially before you feel cold, because there aren't enough molecules to actually suck the heat away from your body. It will eventually happen. You will eventually become cold as time goes on. Unless you're like if you're in the sun, you'll be being hit by all the high energy particles that are currently hitting the Earth. Like all that radiation heats up the space shuttle just like it heats up the Earth. So it all depends on where you are. So if you're in the shadow of a body, or if you're in like interstellar space, it's cold. But there isn't enough space. There isn't enough stuff in this space to actually cool you off very fast.
Well, I mean, that's vaguely encouraging.
Right. So whenever you see, like frosty bodies in space, like, soon after, like, they exit the spacecraft and then suddenly they just freeze, that's not how it works. You do die.
All right, Hank, what is the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon?
So, they have released some of the final designs of the Mars 2020 rover, John.
Uh-huh.
So this is the next rover after Curiosity. It's based on Curiosity, very similar design. But Curiosity's got, I think, 17 cameras. This bad boy's got 23.
And a lot of those cameras that were previous Curiosity cameras have been upgraded. Curiosity, it has to take pictures of like its wheels and its surroundings to make sure it doesn't run over anything that's gonna hurt it, and keep track of everything. And those cameras used to be like really small, crappy cameras that would take a bunch of pictures, and they'd stitch them all together back at home, and it would take a little extra time, and it slows down the mission. Now they're just putting nice, like 23 megapixel cameras, full color down there, which is gonna allow us to move faster. They can take pictures while the rover's moving, which they couldn't before. The big problem with that is that those bigger files have to get back to Earth for us to figure out like what's going on. And there's a data bottleneck. Like the internet to Mars is pretty slow, turns out. So they are both trying to figure out like we need better cameras, but also we need to figure out how to better utilize the existing network of communication satellites that we have around Mars to beam that information back to Earth as frequently and without interruption, with like fewer interruptions, so that they can keep up with that. But 23 cameras on Mars 2020 rover, which will hopefully be launching in 2020, we'll have a second frickin' minivan on Mars.
It's pretty cool, pretty cool. Well, the news from America's favorite third-tier English soccer team is terrible. AFC Wimbledon today played in the Caribou Cup, which is like the Football League trophy. It matters not at all unless you like make it to the semifinals, which we won't, so it's not an issue. And we especially won't because we lost. We lost to Luton Town, which, by the way, is the same team that we beat to make it back into the Football League, to the fourth tier of English soccer, in a penalty shootout where Seb Brown saved two penalties, one of the greatest moments really in human history. And but we lost 2-1. The one goal was scored by Lyle Taylor, the Montserratian Messi, the greatest football striker in the history of the nation of Montserrat. Great goal he scored, and you couldn't help but be hopeful, except that then Lyle Taylor came off with an injury, which is very bad, because AFC Wimbledon have scored 10 goals this season, and Lyle Taylor has scored 5 of them. So we have the lowest goal total of any team in the league, and we just lost half of our goals for goodness knows how long. So hashtag crisis, hashtag panic, hashtag Elon Musk, just like, all we need is like $100,000. I know what you're thinking. You got some resources, Green. Well, my wife said no. She said that our philanthropy focuses on global health and poverty, and she struggled to see how it was directly related to either. Hank, thank you for potting with me. Thanks to all of you for listening, and as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.
And now it's over. Thank you for listening. And I will remind you again, since now you're no longer listening to a podcast, you can go to podcon.com to see if maybe you want to get your jeans to Seattle December 9th and 10th, or if you're already there. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm not sure if I meant jeans like a J or jeans with a G. You will definitely bring your G jeans. Those come no matter what. But you'll probably also bring your J jeans. I just didn't want to say butt, okay? That's what it was. I decided, but now I've said butt. So anyway, Dear Hank is the coupon code for $10 off. We're doing a live Dear Hank and John there. A bunch of other amazing stuff is also happening. You can find out about that stuff at podcon.com. It's just an opportunity for people to celebrate and discuss and love podcasts together. Thank you for listening to me ramble. I hope you enjoyed listening to this. It was a bit of a pain in the butt to put together, but I'm glad that I did it because I got to save some of the really wonderful moments that we had on tour. And thank you if you came to see us on tour. We had such an amazing time, and I am so thankful to everybody who came out. I mean, we just had such a good time. It was like, it was crazy to be on the road together for almost a month straight. And, you know, it's really special to have an opportunity to spend that kind of time with your brother. So thanks, John. And I can't wait to do our next live Dear Hank and John in December at PodCon, and a long one too. It's just so fun to answer questions from the people who are actually in the room with you and to see their reactions and to connect a little bit more. So thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks to John, and thanks to everybody who's coming to PodCon. I cannot wait to see you. Thank you for supporting this first year thing. It can be really hard to make a first year thing work. So everybody who's doing that, You are the best. Thanks so much for listening.